This is Radio Freethinker, episode 89.
Hello and welcome to Radio Freethinker, the radio show podcast that promotes skepticism and critical thinking right here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. This is Ethan, your freethinking historian and executive director of CFI Vancouver.
This is Don, your political science philosopher, reminding you that this is Pledge Week. Give us some money next.
This is Chloe, student at UBC and member of UBC Freethinkers.
And this is Daniel, president of UBC Freethinkers.
Ethan, you forgot about Kamloops.
Well, I didn't forget about Kamloops. I never forget about Kamloops. Oh. How can you forget Kamloops? I'm just saying that...
We love you, Kamloops.
Right now, we're in the middle, well, actually the very beginning, literally, of our fun drive here at CITR. So the focus today is going to be mostly on CITR, but I do encourage, you know, our Kamloops friends, if you like Radio Freethinker, if you like Community Campus Radio, consider donating, because... if they shut us down here, we're going to get shut down over there, and no one wants that, right?
And don't forget, too, that if you feel like we're slighting you by spending this, you know, attention right here in CITR, if you send us any responses, any requests, we can do a special show exclusively from stuff we get from our Kamloops audience.
That's right, we can.
Provided, of course, you send in a pledge. We're looking for pledges between $30 to up to $1,000 if you want. What are our swag for the show today?
Well, you know what? There's lots of swag to give away.
What swag again? Sorry, I use these terms, but I have no idea what they mean.
I think it's booty that's taken from a pirate ship. Ooh. That we have, I think, stolen from them.
Yeah, we raided it for your benefit.
That's right.
The skeptic pirate ship.
We've been shoplifting all... I mean, we've been collecting stuff all year.
It came out of a pirate ship, Don.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah. So there's great CITR swag to give away. For a pledge of $30, you get a Friends of CITR card, which is really fantastic because you get all these discounts on various places. I was actually at this comic book store over the weekend, and I used my discount there, and I was very happy. At $60 for a pledge, you get your CITR card plus a record bag.
Ooh.
And as you all know, records are quite popular with the kids, so it's good to have a bag to put them in. For a donation of $101.90, you get the card, the bag, and a limited edition surprise.
Ooh.
Indeed.
Does that mean it's only a surprise for a limited time, or does that mean...
Well, I assume after a certain amount of time, the surprise will wear off.
Because you'll actually know what it is.
Yeah.
When it's given to you.
But I would assume that it no less loses its value. For $250, you get two CITR cards, record bags, and surprises. Plus, you get to host your own show for an hour on CITR.
Cool.
That's pretty awesome. For $500, you get the two cards, the record bag, the surprises, your own show for an hour, and a T-shirt.
Wow.
Pretty awesome. And for the very generous listener, for $1,000...
You get Ethan for the evening.
Well, if someone wants that.
For $1,000, what do they get?
They get two cards, record bags, surprises, hour-long show, and a hoodie.
A hoodie.
So
is that a piece of clothing or some kid who stands by the 7-Eleven with a Slurpee?
Well, I would imagine it's a hoodlum.
Isn't that a hoodlum?
And for those of you out there who aren't local audience, right, with the hour-long show, I'm quite sure we can arrange to do something over Skype or something like that. So even if you're not a local listener, let's say you're listening to this on our podcast later on, and you want to support our show, you know, we will make arrangements to record a show for you, even if you happen to be in Hong Kong, because I'm sure we have a lot of listeners in Hong Kong.
I would imagine so, yeah.
It's part of the Commonwealth. Well, it was part of the Commonwealth.
Of course. Now the number is to call, 604-822-8648. Call right now. Start donating. Remember now, if you're not satisfied with that CITR swag, fear not. Radio Free Thinker has taken care of you. We have gotten some great skeptically themed prizes. Now, for a donation of, was it $20, we are going to give you a Railway Club t-shirt and member card. And now you think, well, how does that do with skepticism? I don't get it. But the Railway Club is like the skepticism's heart in Vancouver. It's where we have skeptics in the
pub. It's our mecca. It's where we pray towards.
Yeah, well, we go there to drink. Really. That's sort of how things work.
Very similar to pray.
It's where we have Skeptics in the Pub, which is actually happening tonight. So come on by at 7:30. It's where CITR has its shindig, which is quite exciting. It's where we have things like Café Scientifique. There's been a lot of other interesting events there. We actually had a skeptic camp there once. So it's just a really cool little venue. So a fantastic way to show your support. $20, T-shirt, member card, way to go. We have some other great prizes, including a subscription to Skeptical Inquirer. If you donate $50, indeed. If you donate $80, you'll get to guest host a show with us on Radio Free Thinker to talk about whatever it is, you know, that's on your mind.
And we are very lovely people.
We are very lovely people. And you'll want to, you know, keep that in mind, because if you donate $101.90, you can have dinner courtesy of Radio Free Thinker with Radio Free Thinker. We'll take you out to some restaurant, not a fancy one, but, you know, a nice one, not McDonald's or something.
Will we take them to the Railway Club? It is our mecca, after
We could go to the Railway Club. We could go anywhere else we want. And cool. We'll have dinner with them. So lots of reasons to donate. I mean, not to mention the fact that, you know, you help keep this radio station on the air, which is pretty darn important, wouldn't you say?
No.
Yes, I would.
Don't just like,
Sorry, it's Eve. We have internet in here, and I'm desperately trying to find a link to our story, but Google Docs doesn't work right.
That's too bad.
It's fine for me. It's your fault.
Yes, okay. But we love Google Docs. Why would I be looking at Google Docs, though?
I don't know. Why?
Well, because we actually are doing a show. We're just not trying to get money from you, although, of course, we are, and we hope you call in at our number at 604-822-8648. I don't know if you've given out that number yet, but...
We have, but let's give it out some more.
Okay. So our first story today is, well, everyone knows that there was an election in the United States, and everyone says, you know, it's going to be the end of the world as we know it. Could very well be. Apparently, in the United States, one of the leading contenders for their House Energy and Commerce Committee is a gentleman named Shimkus, who commented about his beliefs on global warming. He says, we don't have to worry about global warming because, and I quote, I do believe in the Bible and the words of God, and I do believe that God said the earth would not be destroyed by a flood. I.e., we don't have to worry about global warming, God will take care of everything.
So wait, because it won't be destroyed by a flood, global warming won't
matter. I know, this was actually kind of, this was wrong on two different levels. I mean, one, the fact that he thinks God's going to protect the planet. Two,
God's done a wonderful job so far.
Yeah, well, and the second part is he seems to think global warming means literally the earth will blow up or something. Because his evidence is that the Bible says that God will not destroy the earth until Armageddon. So we're pretty much safe until then from the destruction of the earth.
But isn't there a flood involved with Armageddon, though, including fire and brimstone and other...
Actually, no, I don't think so. It's a fuzzy... See, when you're dealing with made-up stories, right, I mean, it's rather hard to pinpoint the facts. It's like trying to go to comic world, right, and say, well, didn't Superman withstand kryptonite here, but now you've got kryptonite here, and it doesn't... I mean, and you go, well, it doesn't make any sense. And like, no, it doesn't. So... You know, the current leader, head of this committee, right, is retiring. So it's pretty much going to be either this one or one of the other Tea Party type people who, again, have this theological thing. I was listening to NPR the other day, and apparently there's a movement now among climate scientists to lobby for climate change agenda. Can I use that word? It's a little loaded, maybe. But to push back against this, the climate deniers, the these people who are saying there is no such thing as global warming, it's not man-made. So they're going out there and they're trying to raise the education level of both the politicians and the public as to the true risks that are involved by, one, ignoring the problem, and by actually giving these people who are plainly wrong and distorting the facts and using God as evidence that we don't have to worry about global warming. So they're pushing back against that, which in itself is causing a big issue. How, what's the word? How politically active should scientists be? Thoughts?
Well, I mean, I think very politically active.
Yeah,
they have to be. You know, this reminds me of the story that we covered a little while ago about how the Canadian government was trying to muzzle scientists. They actually started a webpage going around the government to media to get their message out there. That's the kind of thing that I think scientists have to do. You can't sit in your ivory tower and hope the truth gets out there. You have to be aggressive. And I mean, well, I mean, we have the science cheerleaders from last show, but
exactly.
I mean, many skeptics say that the job of people like us is to essentially be that voice that scientists can't be because they're so, I don't know, clumsy or whatever. But you know what? It's interesting. God's not going to save the Earth from global warming. Obviously, God doesn't exist. But you know what else God isn't going to save?
What?
CITR.
What?
I didn't know where I was going with that, see?
I have precognition.
Well, more on that later.
Yeah. If you want to keep fantastic discussions like this on the air, I encourage you to call right now, 604-822-8648. I mean, frankly, scientists aren't going to get the job done. We have to. Donating to us might stop global warming.
And let's not forget that we were talking about the burn the Koran, right, and the protest against that. And right after our show, the guy in Florida said, okay, I'm not going to do it. And I'm sure it was because of the show.
You know what else?
Correlation does equal causation.
Sometimes it does. You know who else is really opposed to the whole God will save the Earth because of global warming argument? Is the cast of The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe. And you know what else? They're going to be here in Vancouver on Saturday.
Oh, but wait a minute. I mean, they're going to be here, and I tried to get tickets because I wanted to go get tickets. But how could I possibly get tickets for
Well,
the
they're
show?
Sold out. But I pulled some strings. I talked to the SGU. I pleaded. And they've given us two tickets to the sold-out show. You can't get these tickets anywhere else in the world, in the universe. But if you donate $30 to CITR right now or anytime before Saturday, I will give you those two tickets, and you can go, and I will sit at home because I'm generous like that.
Wow.
We don't need you there anyway.
Yeah, what do I have to do about it? I mean, bleh. But I do encourage you, call right now, 604-822-8648, and donate because these tickets are sitting here, and if you don't take them, I'm sure, you know, Chloe or Daniel or me or Don will take them, and that'll be too bad.
I already got my tickets.
No. Well, then you can have extra tickets.
Yeah. I'm waiting for
That's
the big...
That's pretty good acting, though.
I'm waiting for the big showdown between me and Steve Novell over his thing about cancer in the ancient world.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. You just want to come just for that.
It's really going to be epic. I'm sure that we're going to have to drag Don out of there kicking and screaming. Let's go to a commercial break here on Radio Free Thinker. Remember, support CITR.
Why should you support CITR's Fund Drive 2010? Because we're a campus-based community station that encourages student involvement. Our student executives make management decisions alongside a team of dedicated staff. Help keep CITR going. Pledge to Fund Drive 2010, November 16th to 25th. Call 604-UBC-UNIT or visit citr.ca.
Nowadays, we all know that cash rules everything around us. Cream, get the money, dollar bill, y'all.
Like a good friend, CITR is there for you. Whenever you need it, you can flip on 101.9 FM or stream live on the internet. You can even catch up on your favorite shows via podcast. CITR has been there for all its friends since 1982. Help us keep this beautiful streak alive. Please donate to Fund Drive 2010, November 16th to the 25th. Call 604-UBC-UNIT or visit CITR.ca to lend your support.
We're back on Radio Free Thinker. We're doing our annual fund drive episode to try to encourage you to donate to CITR to keep this amazing radio station and shows on the air.
And if I wanted to donate, what would I call?
Well, Don, I'm glad you asked. You would dial 604-822-8648. One of our very polite and happy attendees are waiting by the phone right now.
Or if you hate phones for some reason, you can go to CITR.ca/donate and look for the Radio Free Thinker button.
Yes, and remember, you can come on by the station if you're on campus, hand over some cash. We take credit card, Visa, MasterCard. If you want to donate online, we take checks. We take pretty much anything. So.
And if it's more than $10,000, remember, small bills, brown envelope, and I'll meet you around back.
That's right.
Yeah.
Anyway, Don, what's this to hear about Oklahoma?
Yeah, well, Oklahoma is going to come up a couple of times in our show. We were just talking about the crazy teabaggers in Washington, just got elected. Well, besides electing crazy people to their parliament, Oklahoma passed a constitutional amendment to its state constitution that banned Sharia law. Quote, unquote, the proponents of this ban said it was a preemptive strike to stop Oklahoma suffering the fate as European countries such as Britain have, as Sharia law is routinely used, sorry, I need a new tongue, in Muslim communities. What the law itself states is it forbids the court from considering or using international law. It forbids the court from considering or using Sharia law. And sources of international law include international agreements as well as treaties. Now, it passed by a 70% approval rate, so Oklahomans love this. Now, this says ironic things. I mean, okay, one, it banned Sharia law from there, which is what they wanted. But the whole international law, the reason why they added that in there is there's a big thing in the United States about how the United States is subjected to things like the Geneva Convention and the World Court and all that, and they don't like that idea that some foreign country can put Americans in jail against their law. So one of the weird side effects of this, which really upset Oklahomans, they didn't realize this came into it. But does anyone know where the Bible was written or the Ten Commandments?
Not in Oklahoma.
Not in Oklahoma. Technically, it's a form of international law. It's not American law. Therefore, you know, they're getting really upset because judges are now prevented from using any reference to the Bible or the Ten Commandments in their things, which, don't get me wrong, I love that part. This was sort of a yes, no, yes sort of thing. And another thing, too, is that they're no longer allowed to use any form of international law. So any treaty that America has signed or any law enforcing that treaty is also you can't use in there. So free trade, anything like that now is against the law, I guess, or the judges can't use that. Apparently they're worried now because Oklahoma, for some bizarre reason, is becoming increasingly attractive to overseas businesses. But foreign businesses aren't going to be going there because any contract they sign can't be interpreted in an international context. So they're worried that it's not going to happen. So essentially, any treaty America has signed is null and void now in Oklahoma. On top of that, they also had another thing that in the United States, American natives, their reservations are considered to be independent nations. Like they're not, unlike in Canada where they're sort of exhumed into Canada and they're trying to get self-governed. In the United States, they're seen as sovereign countries in and of themselves. And that means any of the treaties that were signed with the natives there are, again, null and void. So when it comes to a dispute as into who owns this land, technically, whatever the treaty said doesn't count, and they're worried that some unscrupulous land dealers or all that will go in there. You know, in Canada, we have these things where natives get special fishing rights or whatever, right? That's all done into these treaties. Again, those no longer seem to be applicable in Oklahoma. So really, you know, they went there and they tried to use this ideological measure to promote something that they thought was a good thing, and it's just blowing up in Oklahoma, which is good.
I don't think it's quite as bad as you're trying to make it sound.
This isn't me. These are all from Oklahomans, law people, as well as law professors, that kind of thing, and they're local law professors.
Yeah, but I mean, foreign businesses will be able to make contracts under Oklahoma civil law, and it will be protected there. It's not quite as catastrophic as some of these people seem to be making it sound.
True, but any Canadian company will go in there, and they can go in there as if they were an Oklahoma company, but if they wanted any protection from NAFTA or anything like that, it doesn't count. They can't call upon that at all. But whereas they could do it in Kansas. Kansas is a good place. Go to Kansas. Just as Republican, not quite as crazy.
Interesting. That's so sad for Oklahoma. Yeah. You know, I mean, maybe if someone, as Daniel said, thinks that perhaps we're not giving the story a fair shake, they would like to come onto our show and set it right. And for $80, they can do that. That $80 doesn't just go to us, of course. It goes to the station here at CITR, which supports all the fantastic programming you hear over the course of your day.
It buys us things like microphones so you can actually hear us.
Yes.
Which is useful.
They're building a new digital library here at CITR.
And just in case, you know, because, I mean, if we find out more about this story, because, like I say, a lot of these things are question marks. In order for you to hear us in the future, the radio station has to be here. So it helps, you know, ensure that they can pay licensing fees, pay the local staff. They pay us, actually, $1,000 a show. Of course, that's 100% taxes, so we don't actually see any of it. But we still do it. Sorry, that's a plug for our past show about taxation, which I'm sure all of you listen to.
That's right. Remember, if you're listening to the podcast right now, you might be thinking, oh, I've missed the bus on all these cool prizes and everything. Not so. Just call up right now, 604-822-8648. If you just tell the friendly operator of the phone that you want to donate and get the Radio Freethinker prizes, they will set you up. And you will get those prizes, and we really appreciate your support. You know, without you people, we really don't have anything to contribute here, because you guys listen to what we say, and, you know, the streak is two-way. We listen to what you guys tell us to talk about, so.
It's true. If you're enjoying how asinine we're being at the moment, if you want us to continue being asinine, you need to send us money.
Or if you don't, send us money and tell us not to.
Yeah.
And for those of you who don't know what asinine is, if you send us in a donation of $30, we'll look it up for you and tell you what the word asinine actually means.
You know what we should do? We should hear what our old friend Rob has to say about CITR and all of that stuff. So why don't we queue up Rob? We'll phone him up right now and get Rob on the line, and Rob can tell us what he thinks about CITR.
Factory farm created monsters, mad cow or bird flu. You got it.
Okay. Hey, you're talking about a lot of.
Without CITR filling the airways, that's what you would hear. Vancouver would lose an essential source of independent and diverse music and spoken word programming. And we know that commercial radio doesn't play what we play. Vancouver would lose multicultural programming, community and student access to media, and all the shows and events CITR sponsors. But really, we don't want to imagine this world. So support CITR during this fund drive. Call 604-822-8648. 604 UBC Unit, or online at citr.ca/donate. The unique sounds of CITR radio are possible only through your continued support. Call 604-822-8648, 604 UBC Unit, or online at citr.ca/donate.
CITR Fund Drive 2010, November 16th to 25th. Visit citr.ca to learn more.
We're back on Radio Freethinker.
Well, there's a plea in this particular pamphlet that I'm looking at to tell. It's called the Fun Drive Pitch Booklet, and part of the pitch is don't let CITR fall into the dark ages. They had radio in the dark ages, did you know? This is how we do not want CITR to fall into the dark ages. This is the reason we need you to donate in various amounts, which we have previously mentioned. CITR needs to stay up to date with new technology. We need to continue to invest in our podcasting service, servers, and computers. Pretty important.
And remember, for those people, that we've lost a show or two because of their system was a little quirky, and this is one way to help you have a regular show.
It's true. We also need to continue to improve our live streaming and website capabilities and equipment and technical expertise. That doesn't make any sense. It just says here at this bullet, equipment and technical expertise costs. You can do this by calling 604-822-8648, which is UBC Unit.
But
that's what it spells.
That's a weird acronym.
It is.
So for all those people who do pledge, I should make a note that donors can either receive a tax credit for the full donation or a tax receipt for the value of their donation minus the swag. What's the swag? What prizes do you get for having a pledge? Well, for $30, you get a Friends of CITR card. That's a discount for various businesses around town. For $60, you get a CIT card plus a CITR record bag. And I'm sure it's vintage. I'm sure they were digging around the back room and they found these record bags from the 70s and said, wow, look at that. Very stylish. For $101.90, 101.9, get it. You get a Friends of CIT card, a CITR record bag, and a limited edition surprise. For $250, you get two Friends of CIT card, a CITR record bag, a limited edition surprise, and a one-hour listener show, i.e. you get to do your own show for 1 hour. You want to do the show naked? You can. Just make sure we can't see you. For $500, you get two Friends of CIT card, a CITR record bag, a limited edition surprise, a host listener hour, and a T-shirt, as opposed to a coffee shirt. And for $1,000, you get a two Friends of the CIT card, a limited edition surprise, flipping things around here, CITR record bag, an hour long show, and a hoodie, as opposed to hoodlum or other such thing. Plus, if you say you're supporting Radio Free Thinker at CITR, you also get...
Well, the prizes are limitless, although they actually do have a limit. For $20, you get the Railway Club T-shirt to express your support of the Railway Club.
So that's $20, the Railway card, and that's all you get.
No, you get a member card with the Railway Club T-shirt.
Wow.
Member card for what?
The Railway Club.
Oh, good.
So you're in the club of the railway.
Cool.
Otherwise, you have to stay outside. It's not very fun.
But you can wear the T-shirt outside.
You can wear the T-shirt outside, yes. Let me double check on that one, actually. $30. Two tickets to the sold-out show, The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe, live in Vancouver.
Plus the Friends of CIT card. You get both of these.
Absolutely. At $50, you get a subscription to Skeptical Inquirer, one of the most popular, longest-running skeptical magazines out there. Got great talent from Stephen Novella to James Randi to the formerly with us, Martin Gardner, who passed away a few months ago.
Is he still writing?
No, but some of his articles are still being published.
Okay.
You can get people like Dr. Harriet Hall, who was a visitor here in Vancouver recently, publishes in Skeptical Inquirer. All kinds of great material there. $80, you get to guest host an episode of Radio Free Thinker with us. You can talk about whatever you want, and we'll, you know, apply some critical thinking to it.
And you also get the Friends of CIT card and the CITR record bag.
That's a very fantastic prize.
Wow.
For $101.90, you get a free dinner with the cast of Radio Free Thinker. That's us. We will take you out for a nice dinner and, you know, be skeptical of the things that you do in your daily life.
As well as the CITR Friends card, a CITR record bag, and a limited edition surprise. And as far as the dinner goes, we promise you, big-time restaurants here. McDonald's, Wendy's, you name the fast food restaurant, and we'll take you to it.
Yeah. Well, in actuality, I'm sure that we'll be able to find something that we all enjoy. And don't worry, some of us, well, not me, but some are vegetarians, and we will accommodate people who don't eat meat, despite the fact that Don hates people who don't eat meat.
So, yeah, and actually it's really simple because, you know, they're going to order the steak dinner, and they're just going to give me the steak.
Yeah, and you'll get...
And then that's a vegetarian plate for them, and I get my meatitarian plate.
It's a plate with nothing on it.
Maybe a potato.
Now, but there's still so much to discuss here on Radio Free Thinker. What's going on, Chloe, in the world of skepticism?
Well, it looks like Oklahoma is failing on many, many levels. A recent article, several articles actually came out, to the effect that at a high school in Oklahoma, I believe the high school is called Dell City High School, two female students have been prevented from graduating when their principal learned that they were a couple. Not in two separate couples, but a couple together. How scandalous. And that one of them had left her parents' home to live with her girlfriend. The principal told this student that if she went back to live with her mother, she could come back to school.
So the school guy had no problem with an incestuous relationship, just not a...
Yeah, I guess so. All right. In addition, these students claim that some faculty at Dell City High School discourage gay students from graduating. In fact, an alumna, which is a female alumnus, in case anyone was wondering, of the same high school said that she faced similar issues with the same principal who had referred to the unhealthy lifestyle of her friend. Three guesses what unhealthy lifestyle means. So, obviously, as skeptics, we're going to balk at this attitude because we think it's completely unreasonable and we know better. But what I think is interesting about this is that it shows how damaging this kind of attitude is. This principal really does think that he is being so helpful. He thinks that he... I mean, it's probable that this student who's moved out of her mom's home is probably having issues at home. That's probably something that's happening in her life. It's also obvious that these kids want to stay in school and that their desire to stay committed to their education is being used against them. So if you come back to school, you have to stop being gay. Stop being gay is in big scare quotes for all of our listeners. To come back to school as if such a thing were possible.
You know, and there's this sort of, you know, snowballing effect too, because then they're going to sit back and they're going to say, see, if you're gay, you're less likely to graduate from high school, and that proves that it's actually a bad form of lifestyle choice for you to do. But I mean, in this particular case, you know, the harmful effects are not innate in itself. It's what they've done to these ladies.
Totally. It's that's what's so disturbing about it, is that they're actually giving them fewer options in the future. Not only are you going to be a gay person who is probably going to be marginalized in the United States, but you also aren't going to have a high school diploma.
And, you know, this reminds me of a school board member in Nevada, I believe. You have to check on the internet for this one, who was commenting about the series of suicides of gay students, who commented that, you know, it'd be great if they all just killed themselves. And this was a school board member. And, I mean, he did a mea culpa afterwards, after one said, you're such a horrible person. But, I mean, to come out with that in the first place, and, I mean, this is someone who's responsible for the children. You know, I mean, everyone gets all up in arms when you have a pedophile in school or someone who's gay in school because they might damage the children. Well, what the hell about these guys? You know, I mean, what kind of damage are they doing? And it's like, oh, well, they're just exhibiting their religious beliefs, therefore they're protected. Well, That's crap.
Yeah.
It is crap.
In fact, if you look up, George Takei did a video on YouTube about that particular person.
George Takei, for those who don't, was Sulu on Star Trek.
That's right.
And he also was on Heroes, the dad of Hero.
Okay.
And he randomly appears in, like, tons of TV shows.
Yeah. Including Horowitz's Dream on Big Bang Theory. But
yes.
Yeah. He's also on Futurama. But the point is, he did a very, very good... video about that in particular, so I encourage you to go check it out. It's quite good. So, absolutely, I think an issue that skeptics have to...
Absolutely, this is like not critical thinking at its finest, i.e. it's most horrible.
That's exactly.
Speaking of not...
Sorry, what? You just kind of trailed off there.
I was just curious too. You know, we're talking about people's attitudes, and I remember reading in Skeptic about some issues with attitudes and that, and yeah, and I mean, you know, I feel a little scary to go into this because, you know, as a guy, I have certain blinders on to issues that might, you know, like white people have difficulty understanding what it's like to live in a black community. So being a guy, it's hard to know what it's like to be a female in the skeptic community. And from what I understand, there is somewhat of a kerfuffle about sausage and pizza or something?
There is a bit of a kerfuffle about sausage and pizza. Well, for anyone who reads Skeptic, Elise, who is a contributor to Skeptic, in fact, I believe she is one of these Skeptics, but I could be wrong about that, posted on November 13th that she'd heard a lot of complaints about women being creeped out, having to deal with the creepy dude factor at skeptical/atheist events. She's actually starting an outreach organization for skeptical women to deal with this and other issues that might come up for women specifically. The post was interesting. I disagreed with some of it, but the post also discussed how women sometimes find it hard to speak up about men being creepy, and most will just stop coming to events instead of saying something. What I found weird about this is that I have yet to be at a skeptical event, shall we say, where I've had to deal with a creepy dude. I mean, I find that men in the skeptical movement, because they embrace rationality, are uniquely rational and respectful towards women.
Maybe Vancouver is just a generally more accepting and better place than other places. But...
Sorry.
Creepy
the
dude.
The funny
factor.
Thing is, he's panting while you're talking.
Yeah, right? Well, that's more fitting.
But. Absolutely. Other people may be having a different experience, which is, I mean, totally fair. But what really got me was the comments made on this post. A handful of them were equating creepiness with nerdiness, which is silly, in my opinion. And basically, the socially awkward straight guys are creepy. This strikes me as, interestingly enough, a stance that isn't very socially experience. Nerds of any gender tend to be socially awkward. So where's the creepiness there? Where's the worry?
Well, and I mean, then you start to get this sort of thing happening where if you're not sort of cool or hip, we don't want you at the skeptic movement, right? I mean, you shouldn't have to be, you know, suave or attractive or something like that in order to be there. I mean, that's just as discriminatory as saying, well, we don't like women there. And that was my first reaction is, well, how do you define creepy? Now, before the show, we were talking with Ethan, and he actually mentioned that there is some instances, in this one in particular, that, okay, I would qualify as a bit creepy. What did you say happened at the...
Well, this was something that I read on the blog Blaghag. It was an experience that Jen McCrite experienced. She was at an atheist meeting. She was the only woman there. And apparently some two creepy guys there started taking pictures of her breasts.
Which is pretty creepy.
That's pretty creepy. Yeah. Now, I mean, let's keep things in perspective a little bit. Any group of people, if you get about 100 people or more, by the law of averages, some of them are going to be creepy. It doesn't have to be they're men. They could be creepy women. They could be, you know, a creepy dog, for instance. Who knows? You get enough people together, there's going to be some creep factors. I think the Vancouver skeptical environment has been largely very accepting, very polite, very rational. I haven't seen, like Chloe mentioned, any instances of outright bizarreness here in Vancouver.
Yeah, you know, and I agree, because when I asked you about that, I asked, when you talked about that, sorry, I said, so what was the response of the rest of the people at this conference, right? You know, when it was brought to their attention that these guys were taking pictures of her T-shirt that happened to say, Big Hooters for Skeptics. No, I don't know what it said, but so
creepy.
When, yeah, lead an example of what not to do. But when they brought this up to the attention of the people at this convention, you said their response was, meh.
Pretty much.
See, and that's where...
the problem.
Yeah, then I'd say, yeah. Then it enters into... Because you're right.
Yeah.
You can get creepy people at any event because, one, it's a public event. Two, you don't want to scare away people because, you know, even if they're a little creepy, they might not be bad people. But when you bring inappropriate behavior to the attention of the group, it's the responsibility of that group to police its own members, right?
Exactly. And that's something that I think that the Vancouver group seems to understand. You know, we're pretty darn clear about what is acceptable behavior, what isn't. In this case, in the case that Jim McCrite experienced, clearly that didn't happen. I don't know about the case that the skeptics are talking about. Did they actually cite examples, or were they just sort of ranting?
It seemed like a very short rant. They didn't really cite particular examples. What I really object to here is the method being used. An outreach program is great, but what really we need to be doing is monitoring each other. Like, women do need to speak up as much as other men need to speak up when, like, if the dude sitting next to Jen McCrae had been like, guys, that's enough, that probably would have been enough of a reaction.
And I mean, that's another thing, too, that as the community grows, right? I mean, we were talking before that there is an underrepresentation of minorities, of women, and that in our group. Because if you do, if it's like a locker room, right, you got a bunch of guys together, culturally, we do act differently, and in ways that might not be socially appropriate if there are other members in that group, right? So I think we need to learn that although it may be kind of an all-guys club in some aspects now, that we need to break that mold and say, okay, it's not a locker room. We need to act even as if there was a big diversity of people in the room, because in doing so, we will create an environment where they will feel comfortable to come out.
Not to say, though, that we need to ask people to not be themselves. I think, you know, as Chloe mentioned, just because you happen to like Star Trek and Battlestar Galactica and Lord of the Rings doesn't mean you have to stay home, you know.
Unless it's the 3-hour extended edition on TV.
And then you do need to stay home.
Well, you gotta watch it. But I mean, the point being is I don't really want to say to people, listen, you're too nerdy, stay away.
Yeah.
So, but what do our listeners
think? If anything, skeptics are like, you're not nerdy enough, stay away.
Yeah, that's sort of the actual message, I think. But what do our listeners think? Do you think that, you know, the skeptical dudes out there are too nerdy? Are we scaring away all the ladies? Email us, let us know, radio.freethinker@gmail.com. And you know what you can do? You can let us know by calling the show at, what's that number again, Don?
It's 604-822-8648, acronym I don't think is worth saying. Or you can go online to www.citr.ca/donate and click on the Radio Free Thinker button.
Yes.
So there's we have our own button.
When you're donating, you can leave your opinion on what we're talking about.
Yes.
And we might hear about it. Let's go to a commercial break here on Radio Free Thinker. Remember, it's our fun drive. Donate to keep CITR operational.
Oh, baby. Baby, I dedicate to all the pretty girls.
CITR 101.9 FM wants you to own your frequency. Donate to CITR between November 16th and 25th and take ownership of your station.
How do you sleep at night?
On top of a pile of money with many beautiful ladies.
This is your station. Support CITR's Fun Drive 2010.
CITR Fun Drive 2010, November 16th to 25th. Visit CITR.ca to learn more.
Welcome back to Radio Free Thinker. Have you donated yet? If you haven't, donate right now, because we have great prizes for you when you donate, including some skeptically themed prizes like a Railway Club t-shirt and member card, tickets to the sold-out live show of The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe, a subscription to Skeptical Inquirer, a chance to guest host an episode, and the grand prize, a free dinner with the cast of Radio Free Thinker. So donate now. Call us up. Donate now. Go online. Donate now. Do it.
You know
yes,
you
good.
You know you want to. Go on. Do it.
Yes. Well, you know, I'm predicting incoming donations. Do I have precognition, Daniel?
Well, possibly. Who knows?
I don't know.
I only wish someone had done a study about it or something, because then we might get some research into it.
I know. It's almost like someone expected you were going to say that and did a study. A professor from Cornell University named Daryl J. Bem has
cool
spent...
Cool name, buddy.
Yes. Has spent pretty much the last 10 years spending at least some of his time doing research into precognition.
See, he knew you were going to do that.
Yes.
That you were going to ask that question.
So,
sorry.
What has he been doing for 10 years, basically? Well... precognition research has been done for a long time. Most of the results have been pretty iffy, and they've used methods not generally accepted by sort of most psychologists. The way this researcher has done different is he's taken a whole bunch of well accepted and very well. They have lots of evidence, effects in psychology. So things like priming, where if someone sort of subliminally sees words like beautiful before they see something, they're more likely to think it's beautiful. And as well as the mere exposure effect, which is the more you see something, the more you like it. And so he's taken these and reversed it. So instead of being primed before you see something, he primes you after you see something.
So one of the classic examples, and Daniel's kind of alluded to this, is they sit there and they would show you a word, for example, the word ugly. And then they would show you a cute cat, and they say, describe the cat, and you'd say cute. And then they'd show you the word beautiful, and then they'd show you the cute cat and ask you, describe the cat, and you'd say cute. And the delay between the cute after seeing the word ugly and the delay after seeing beautiful, it's longer. So ugly seems to make you hesitate in calling something beautiful. Mm-hmm. So what he does is he says, okay, we've done that. We're going to temporally reverse that, or time reverse it. So we're going to show you the cat, and then we're going to ask you to describe it. And then we're going to show you the word ugly. And then we're going to show you the cat, ask you to describe it, and show you the word beautiful. And according to his research, you take longer to attribute the word cute when you see the word ugly, as though you knew the word ugly was going to show up. Or that's the one experiment that he apparently showed up to show precognition.
Yeah, there's quite a few of these experiments. And
some of them erotic, too, I hear.
Yes, there are erotic ones. Just to give you an idea, though, of sort of... how strong the evidence we're talking about here is. For the priming one specifically, the people doing it guessed, the effect was basically so far off chance that it would only happen less than 1% of the time. So a trial of about 100 people. So basically what that's saying is if there was absolutely no effect of anything, it was pure chance, the effect that actually came out would happen less than 1% of the time. So that's pretty good evidence that something has happened. And that's the priming one alone. If you look at the entire study, he did 9 experiments like the ones we've talked about, varying in different things. And almost all of them had a percentage chance that the effect could happen by chance of less than 4%, which on individual ones is quite good alone, but when you combine them all together, it basically means something has definitely happened here.
And from what I understand, too, at least the one or two ones that I looked at, they were done on computers, mm-hmm. which eliminates one of the confounding factors, is that if people are lifting up cards or such thing, right,
yeah.
you can sometimes get cues from mm-hmm. the presenter. So the idea of having computerized testing try to eliminate that. Mm-hmm.
They were all done on computers. Whenever things needed to be randomized, they were randomized through radioactive decay, which is basically the only real random way we have of doing this. If just a computer program is used, it's not entirely random. It can be close, but it's not entirely random. So in all these methods, certainly it seems like the experiments were well done. Even some of the most notable skeptics that precognition can happen, so lots of other psychological researchers, have looked through this, and they can't find anything wrong with his methods. They still think that something else is probably to explain this other than precognition, and certainly I'd probably lean to thinking it's something else to be explained, but without a doubt, you cannot reasonably say that it's bad experimentation that caused this effect.
I did note, actually, and maybe I'll give him props for this, I'm not sure, but when he used the word, you know, psi or psychic in his preliminary thing, and he went to great extent to say, you know, I'm using this term because everyone kind of knows what it means, but all I mean is that this is an unexplained phenomena. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying, you know, there's something going on here, but I'm not saying how or what it is. It's just I use this term because everyone knows what it means, but I'm not implying there's any supernatural or voodoo thing going on. It's just it's a convenient term.
Yeah, and
it's still the adage of extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence still applies. Mm. This is hardly extraordinary evidence. This is evidence of something. It's not evidence of precognition.
No.
Precognition, I mean, if you think about it, would manifest itself pretty frequently, pretty often, if someone had that ability.
Yeah, definitely. And a few things you should get from this. There's no strong evidence that anyone has super strong precognitive abilities. Simply that it affects them slightly. And it even found that generally across the population, it's pretty even, the effect. There aren't any one group that stands out. Male and female are pretty similar. I believe based on IQ, it's pretty similar. So it's a very tiny effect on lots of people rather than a large effect on a few people.
Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things that this is a interesting study, but obviously we need a lot of follow-up.
Yeah.
We've identified perhaps a phenomena, mm-hmm. but until we have a mechanism to explain that phenomena, we haven't gone really that far.
Yeah, and I've noticed from a lot of skeptics that they basically were like, no, this is stupid, without reading it. And I feel like that's disingenuous to what we should actually see. This is decent evidence that something is happening. And jumping to the conclusion that it's precognition is certainly not good. But jumping to the conclusion that it's definitely not precognition seems equally foolish as me.
I wonder if we should make a bet whether the SGU, because they often listen to our show and then do segment based on what they've heard in our show, or it seems that way. I wonder if we want to make a bet on that or something. Or perhaps if you wanted to spend your money in a better way, you could actually do a donation and call our fund drive line at 604-822-8648 and donate it either 30, 60, 50, 80.
Donating is good.
101.9, 250, 500,000. And you know, I'm quite sure if you phoned in and you said, I wanted to donate $10,000, I don't think they'd turn you away. I think they'd say, yeah, we'll take your money. Thank you.
And I should point out that if you do feel very generous and you want to donate, you know, $80, $90, $100, you can still get the tickets. You don't have to just donate $30. I'll give you the tickets if you donate, you know, $31.
And speaking of tickets, I mean, they have a lot of other free tickets floating around here. For example, we've got one here called the Dead Wax Collective. with special guest One Bad Son. Apparently, they're going to be playing at the Roxy on December 1st. Again, if you want tickets like that, just say, hey, do you guys have any free show tickets? And they've always got some stuff floating around here, and I'm quite sure if you donate, I don't know, $30, that they'd be quite willing to give away these tickets for you if you'd like.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're just swimming in free tickets here at CITR. I mean, there's some here for the closing gala of the Vancouver Jewish Film Festival, which is on Thursday, November 18th, 7 p.m. at the Ridge Theater. I'm sure that, you know, a donation of $20, $30 will get you those tickets. You just got to call up CITR right now and go online. Remember, if you listen to the podcast, you haven't missed out on anything. You can still donate. We're going to be going on for about 10 days here. You're going to have another Radio Free Thinker episode coming up that you can donate on. And if you're listening on Kamloops, for instance, you know, you guys haven't missed out either. We will send you these awesome prizes. So consider donating.
Yes. And if you want to have any comments about the show or anything you want to hear us do for the next show or whatever, don't forget you can send your comments to radio.freethinker@gmail.com or you can phone at 604-822-8648 and donate. Speaking of studies... yes. I discovered a very, very, very interesting study. In fact, if you donate here, you may actually benefit from this. It's a placebo effect. actually, it's based on a study done by a Dr. Beatrice Gollum, like Colum, but with a G. Basically, the study says, is what is placebos? Who knows? An analysis of randomized controlled trials. Placebos, which are essentially, you know, when you do a controlled study, they give you the medicine on one pill, and they have a placebo, which is supposed to be something inert, in the other, and then they see, is there a benefit to this, right? Well, she had noted that placebos are seldom described in their tests, and there's usually not a control or anything, so the people doing the test can kind of put anything they want into placebos. And she says, and I'm quoting here, there isn't anything actually known that is physiologically inert. On top of that, there are no regulations about what goes into placebos and what is in them, and is often determined by the maker of whoever's doing the study. And they, of course, have a vested interest in the outcome. And there has been no expectations that placebo composition be disclosed. So essentially, I mean, some of the things she says is that there was one study that was done where the placebo, this was done in the 70s, was olive oil, right? And they were testing a cholesterol medicine. Well, we now know that olive oil actually will help lower your cholesterol. They didn't know that at the time. So there was a potential drug that was tested, and it didn't have a very good effect compared to the placebo. But the reason why is because the placebo they were using ended up being a physiological active agent. Or worse, and this would be the one that I would be worried about, and all those conspiracy nuts, you want to turn your radio up here now. Or if they sit there and they're testing a drug, and in the placebo they put something, I don't know, like cyanide or something, and they say, see, compared to the placebo, these people had a much better recovery rate than the one using the placebo, and their medicine seems a lot more active than it might normally be. Now, of course, you need placebos or whatever. And what she's calling for is, she's saying, well, one, there should be sort of a standardized regimen as to what placebos you should be using, and it should become a regular part of a study to publish what was the composition of your placebo, so other people looking at the data can say, hey, let's, you know, there's this or that, or great study.
Most placebos are made out of sugar, if I'm not crazy.
You know, you are, actually. I think a lot of it is inert, like, I'm going to say chalk, but it's not chalk. It's like that kind of stuff. Although sugar is classically used, but it depends. But that's the whole point.
Yeah.
There is no standardization. You know, if you're doing a test in diabetes, right, or insulin, and the placebo is sugar, I suspect that might have a slight effect on the test.
Well, but keep in mind, though, that anything you put in your body, regardless of what it is going to provoke a reaction. So, I mean, a placebo will provoke a reaction. If it doesn't have an active ingredient, it's not going to provoke a strong reaction. So, I mean, I don't think they're anticipating, like, zero for the placebo and 10 for the medicine. I think they're kind of thinking more like, you know, 3 and 8.
Well, see, that's the point of this. Because, I mean, you got the one. You have the psychological effect, which has been fairly well studied, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But above and beyond that, as you're pointing out, they are expecting this. Well, who are the they? Well, right now, the only they involved are the people actually doing the study and not the people reading the research afterwards.
No, I think they would know that too.
No, it's not, but that's the whole point. There is no standard for publishing what's in your placebo.
No, I know that, but I think that they would anticipate, being scientists, they would anticipate the placebo effect.
Who are the they?
The scientists reading the articles.
Right, but they don't know what's in the placebo.
They don't need to know, though.
But they do, though. That's the whole point.
If you are a scientist, you know that a placebo has something in it. It may not have an active ingredient, but it
can. That's the whole point. So you're missing the whole point here.
A placebo can have an active ingredient.
Yeah, but what's an inactive? She says there's no such thing as an inactive ingredient.
The point is that maybe if you're testing like a new phenomenon, you don't know for sure that whatever you put in the placebo is going to do absolutely nothing or close to nothing. It could actually have a strong effect, and unless there's more information out there about what placebos are used.
Are you saying that if you're taking a sugar pill and say you're testing a treatment for, I don't know, HIV, the sugar pill might actually work?
Maybe. Someone is going to have to research this to know for sure.
And again,
do you think sugar can cure HIV?
Well, no.
Probably not, but I don't know for sure.
And Ethan, how do you know it's sugar? Maybe I'm a big pharmaceutical, and I've released this study, and I say, my drug against a placebo did this, right? But I never tell you what's in the placebo. Well, then you cannot really know if the placebo had any extra effect. If in my study I say this is my placebo and it was sugar, you go, okay, well, we know sugar and sugar probably had no effect. But because you don't actually know what I put in my placebo, you can't actually say, well, what effect did the placebo have?
But no one is going to think that. Everybody knows.
She wrote a whole study on it.
Well, then maybe she's wrong. Nobody thinks that a placebo causes zero effect. Everybody knows that if you put anything in your body, regardless of what it is going to provoke a reaction.
But what kind of reaction? To what degree? And how would you know that? You'd only know that if you knew what was in the placebo.
No, you would know that if you were a scientist.
And you knew what was in the placebo.
No, if you know what a placebo is, if you know how the human body works.
I can't believe your ignorance here, Ethan. I really am stunned by it.
Are you serious? You don't realize that if you put something in your body, you're going to provoke an immune reaction?
Are you really serious that I, as a scientist, somehow psychically know what's in the placebo that Daniel put into his study?
You're not listening to me. You don't need to know what the placebo is.
Yes, you do. That's the whole point of the study.
Anything that you put a placebo in your body
has the exact same effect. Has the exact same effect. That's what you're saying. No,
that's not what I'm saying.
Then how am I supposed to know what effect the placebo has?
Listen closely and calm down. If you put anything into your body, it will provoke an immune reaction.
Right.
It doesn't matter if you swallow an eraser or sugar.
We agree on that.
It's going to cause a reaction.
We agree on that.
Therefore, if you have any knowledge of biology, you know that it's not a matter of this placebo is going to cause nothing. They know it's going to have some reaction.
Yeah, but how much a reaction? That's the point.
I think the problem here is that it works on a study-to-study basis.
Right.
I think what she wants here is that every study uses the same placebo, because that small reaction that you get is going to be controlled.
Not even the same, but it has to be listed what you put in there so that as a scientist who knows that placebos will have a certain amount of effect, you can judge what effect the placebo has because you know what it is. Was it sugar? Was it oil? Was it cyanide? If I know it was in the placebo, as a scientist who knows biology, I can gauge what the effect the placebo would have when the person took it. Because you're right, scientists know placebos have an innate ability. Boy, we get excited.
Well, again, it's a good reason why here on Radio Free Thinker, most of us try not to get too emotional when it comes to their studies. And if you want to donate to Radio Free Thinker and CITR so that we can continue to put on quality programming like this, please call 604-822-8648. Call right now, donate anything you have. Remember, donations of a certain amount will get some pretty awesome skeptical prize packs, including Railway Club t-shirts and member cards, 2 tickets to the sold-out live show of The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe, a subscription to the Skeptical Inquirer magazine, and an opportunity to guest host an episode here on Radio Free Thinker. And of course, if you donate $101.90, you get a free dinner with the cast of Radio Free Thinker.
Not if you donate $101.89, though.
No.
Gotta add that extra cent.
You're damn right, you have to. Well, let's wrap up here on Radio Free Thinker. We're running out of time. Let's just quickly mention some skeptical highlights, including, I've been talking about it all day, Saturday, November 20th, The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe, here live in Vancouver at the Hebb Theater, 2:30. Tickets are sold out. Only way to get tickets, donate to CITR. Remember, the doors close at 2:30. Be there or we will lock you out. On Saturday, November 27th, at 11 a.m., CFR is presenting Cafe Inquiry with Jen McCrate. Jen is the author of the popular blog Blaghag and the creator of the phenomenon Boobquake. And she's going to be here in Vancouver for a number of talks, including this one at Cafe Inquiry. Again, Saturday, November 27th, room 2280 SFU Harbor Center. Anything else?
No.
No.
I don't think so.
Yeah, we're going over time.
Alrighty then. Well, let's close things up here on Radio Free Thinker. This is Ethan, your free thinking historian and executive director of CFI Vancouver, saying thanks for listening.
This is Don saying eyes open, minds on.
This is Chloe. I say lots of things.
And this is Daniel. Remember to donate.
Here at CITR, we do our best to keep up with the times. Yes, we too are disappointed by the lack of flying cars and hover bikes in 2010. But one thing we are doing is our library digitization project. This means we'll be able to look up and find your quests in the blink of an eye, that we won't have to worry about what happens when our out-of-print Cub CDs disintegrate, and that we'll be able to have more music catalog than our limited physical space could ever accommodate. So, between November 16th and 25th, donate to CITR's Fund Drive and help us leap into the future.
CITR Fund Drive 2010, November 16th to 25th. Visit CITR.ca to learn more.
Factory farm created monsters, mad cow, or bird flu. You got it!
Okay, you've got a lot of...
Without CITR filling the airways, that's what you would hear. Vancouver would lose an essential source of independent and diverse music and spoken word programming. And we know that commercial radio doesn't play what we play. Vancouver would lose multicultural programming, community and student access to media, and all the shows and events CITR sponsors. But really, we don't want to imagine this world. So support CITR during this fund drive. Call 604-822-8648. 604 UBC Unit, or online at CITR.ca/donate. The unique sounds of CITR Radio are possible only through your continued support. Call 604-822-8648, 604 UBC Unit, or online at CITR.ca/donate.
CITR Fund Drive 2010, November 16th to 25th. Visit CITR.ca to learn more.